The following program is made possible by the friends and partners of GodQuest Ministries.
According to the Bible, Noah's Ark landed in the mountains of Ararat. But evolutionists will say, hey, how come we don't find fossil kangaroos all the way from Mount Ararat to Australia? Big problem, and we're going to talk about it today. This is the Creation Today Show from the CTN studio in Pensacola, Florida. I'm one of your hosts, Eric Hovind, and I'm joined by Paul Taylor.
And if we're talking about kangaroos, it would be helpful if we could ask an Australian.
We need an Aussie.
And we've got John Mackay in the studio with us for the second week. Welcome, John.
Aussie, as they say. Yeah, that's great.
Thank you so much for joining us. We learned some great stuff last week on polystrate fossils, evidence against evolution. Man, it just supports God's word. Remember, folks, we believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate in every single detail, and we're not ashamed to say so. We've got a great show lined up for you today with special guest John Mackay, all the way from Australia, talking to us about some of the research he's done. He is an actual geologist that has a degree in geology. Man, John, this is going to be exciting. You've been traveling around for several weeks now, even participating in some debates. I know you've done a lot of different debates. Mm-hmm. Tell us most recently what you've been doing.
Well, I've been on the University of British Columbia, one of their campuses, and had a debate against a professor up there in Canada, in British Columbia, and it was absolutely packed. I mean, they packed the auditorium, they packed the overflow room, they packed the halls and the aisles, and I was praying, Lord, keep the fire warden somewhere else.
No kidding, man. Didn't say clear this
place. So, you know, it was really, really well attended, and the university's just about to post, they'd filmed the debate, and I hope it's posted pretty soon. But what you could really say was my opponent said, we're going to deal with evidence, and then proceeded to tell us all about theories.
Really?
So fairly easy to deal with. And whenever he was asked about evidence, he said, we'll handle it on the online debate. So folks can see all the above now and evaluate whether he has given us any evidence or not.
Man, and they always come up lacking. I mean, that's the problem, right? And there's nothing new under the sun. It's not like there's some magic box of evidence that they've got that they're not, letting us see.
Well, I like to tell him, and I've told him, all evolutionists are hypocrites. They may believe in it, but nobody's doing it.
Wow.
Incredible.
Wow.
And of course, so you've true. Done some amazing debates in the past as well, many of which have been filmed and are on DVDs, which are available from your website.
From creationresearch.net, they can go and they can actually preview some of these debates too, and they can see Creation Research on YouTube to preview all of these. So if they go to creationresearch.net, and there's a pile of those there in front of you, Paul, if you want to hold them up so they get a bit of an idea. Debates we've done in Australia, or debates in England, or debates in Canada. So there's lots of those debates, and they're really worth seeing because most of these professors hide behind their reputation instead of standing on the evidence.
I love that. They hide behind the pillars of the school instead of getting out there. And it's when they're actually put on the spot, they don't have what they say they have.
That's right. They have really theories and opinions, and they contradict the Bible, but the evidence, the facts, never does.
Well, if you want more facts, we got a lot of great stuff coming up. I mean, these debates are great. And
I mean, this is one debate that absolutely fascinates me, the big question debate filmed at Liverpool Cathedral in England. When you were debating a chap with a marvelous string of titles and so on, the Reverend Sir Dr. John Polkinghorne, KBFRS.
He had more degrees than Hot Day, that guy did.
And you blew him out of the water. And what's interesting about John Polkinghorne, I don't know how well known he is in the United States, but he is a theistic evolutionist. He argues that he believes in God and that the theory of evolution, God created everything by evolution.
Yes, and that's available from our American office too, through creationresearch.net.
Wow. Man, that's incredible. Well, we got some stuff we want to talk about before we get to some of the, because you've got fossilized thorns.
That's correct.
And those have some incredible implications. I want to talk to you about those. First, I want to remind you guys about a couple of things. We've got a Proof of God conference coming up in just a few months, so make sure you check that out. It's October 12th and 13th in the Orlando, Florida area. You can go to proofconference.com to check that out. Also, the Creation Store is always having new resources put on there. Man, we've got people producing some incredible stuff.
You need to check the Creation Store website, creationstore.org, every day. day, really, to see what's new there and what special offers are available.
It really is incredible, the information that we can get to strengthen our faith and to share it with other people as well. And, of course, John Mackay has got some great resources. I'd really encourage you to get a hold of these from his American store, Creation Research.
.net. And you've got some vows on your store as well.
We do.
Get them there. That's right.
We need more of yours, don't we?
Amen.
All right, we'll talk about that afterwards. Okay. You have pictures and examples of fossilized thorns. Get into that, and let's get into what this implies, especially talking about this guy you debated who's a theistic evolutionist.
Okay. What we did was we set up an outdoor creation museum in Australia. I'll take you to it. We've called it the Jurassic Ark Project. They can see it on creationresearch.net. And we have a Genesis 3 garden as well. Dr. Diane Eager, who's one of our researchers, she loves plants. Here she is in our Genesis 3 garden. And, of course, this is the one that I get to look after because it requires no attention. Plenty of weeds, right?
Genesis 3 garden where all the weeds come out.
Right.
Just let it grow.
That's right.
I love it.
But of course, it's all about Genesis 3, 17 to 19, because anyone who does gardening finds it's not just weeds that are a problem, but thorns and thistles.
I've got one of those gardens.
Yeah,
man.
It's God's judgment on man recorded back in Genesis, so the world is no longer the perfect place it was when God created. So we grow plants like this. Now, if you've never seen one of these, this is a pineapple or a bromeliad family plant, and you get close up and you can see why. Ooh. Well, it's tough to actually harvest pineapples because the blades are so full of thorny spikes, etc. But I found that fossil here in Canada in 2007. You can see my thumb for scale, and I love to show it to people and give them an IQ test because 99.9% of every person, including every geologist, had never seen such a fossil in a museum. Here's where I found it, over there in Nova Scotia, and the rocks are listed as being over 280 million years old. Now, they're called Carboniferous, which, surprise, surprise, was actually a term invented by a clergyman. he came from a creation background. He lived near Newcastle in England, or Newcastle as we Aussies say, and Newcastle is famous for coal. Yeah. Coal is made of carbon. What do you call rocks with carbon in them? Carboniferous. Nothing to do with millions of years or evolution at all.
Wow.
I went back in 2009, found another specimen of that. So I went up on top of the cliff, picked a plant with similar structures, and you can see the shadow on the rock. You can see the fossil beside it. Now, that's a wild rose that's there, and people say, the things on roses that poke out that are sharp are thorns. So anybody who says this is some kind of fossil thorn is in the right category. Now, of course, scientists love to divide these things up into thorns and thistles and spines, but they're all sharp, and when you fall on them, you get the point. About Genesis chapter 3, right?
They're
not very good. Okay, so when did this rock containing fossil thorns form? And when I sort of do this with geologists in the audience, you can begin to see them wrinkle at me, right?
Yes.
Because there's a question here that's being discussed that they never want to talk about.
Yes.
And it really is, who is your authority?
Yes.
Right? Because all of the geologists, they weren't there when the world was formed. Charles Darwin wasn't there. Charles Lyell. So they have a theory, which is the opinion of men in the present, about how the past got to be like it was. Whereas the Christians got an advantage. Our God was there. So let me read from Genesis chapter 3, that section we quoted before. Then God said to Adam, because you have heeded the voice of your wife. Now, there's actually a three-hour sermon in that two lines. But you've got to be a brave man to preach it these days. And God goes on and says, I put thorns and thistles there, and you will eat the herb of the field. Okay, so that rock formed after Adam sinned. Question, who is your authority? The God who was there or the geologists who weren't? So that's the real important issue. So this rock here is not 280 million years old. Heresy. The reality is that rock on God's testimony, who never lies, could not have formed until after Adam sinned.
And that's what's so fascinating. This right here gets rid of, now obviously the Bible is our best evidence, but this gets rid of theistic evolution.
It really does. In fact, let me go one step further. That rock must therefore be less than 6,000 years old, given the biblical chronology. But you see, when I collect the rocks and fossils, there's the trilobites, there's the thorn layer, and above it, even in Nova Scotia, are the dinosaur layers.
Wow.
Right. Now you can ask that question. If the dinosaur strata are found above the thorn layer, then dinosaur fossils didn't get there till after Adam sinned. Again, the issue, Christian, particularly those who are listening, who is your authority? If you claim God used evolution, sorry, this shoots your argument to pieces, because you've got a book that says there were no thorns in the beginning, there were no thorns till after Adam, so this dinosaur didn't get there till after Adam sinned.
John, you're just nauseated that doesn't know what you're talking about, because we don't find fossil kangaroos over by Mount Ararat. You got an answer for that?
Oh, yes.
All right, we'll have to talk about that right after this break.
Creation Today is introducing a new audio resource, the Holy Bible on Double Speed. Because it is difficult to find the time for lengthy reading sessions, we sometimes miss the big picture produced by reading an entire book of the Bible or a large section without interruption. The first disc of this three-disc set presents Alexander Scorby's wonderful reading of the Bible at the original recorded speed. The second disc is digitally enhanced to 1.5 times faster than the original speed. The third disc is literally double the speed of the original audio recordings. You can now listen to the entire Word of God in 37 hours. These MP3 files can be easily copied to your MP3 player, cell phone, or iPad. You can take it with you for your daily commute. We offer free downloadable playlists to maximize your reading options. With this new resource, we invite you to fly through the Bible to gain an amazing new view of God's Word.
You're watching the Creation Today Show on the Category 5 TV network. By supporting this network, you support Christian programming that's available 24/7. You can investigate their complete programming schedule by visiting their patron page at patreon.com/category5. Prayerfully consider becoming a patron yourself. Thanks for watching the Creation Today Show.
Welcome back. You're watching the Creation Today Show with me, Paul Taylor, and with Eric Hovind, and our very special guest, John Mackay. Coming up next, we'll be looking at some information about the Jurassic Ark project and looking at a very interesting fossilized clam. But first, before we get to that, we had a question earlier. We had a question earlier, which was, why don't we see lots of fossilized kangaroos all the way in a straight line from Mount Ararat all the way across to Australia? And we thought we need, at a great expense, an Australian geologist.
Yes, thankfully it was
answer.
His expense.
Yes.
I was waiting for the check.
Yeah. Yes, we spent, you know.
We got to pay the crew here, so
absolutely.
If there's any left over, we'll send you some. No, but actually, we do want to support you and what you're doing, and you actually get support from others to be able to do what you're doing.
We do. That's
you guys
right.
go into the universities and talk to university students and are able to influence them in incredible ways by teaching them and showing them what they're not being taught at the university.
Yep.
Okay, tell us, answer this question. There's somebody out there, and I've heard this more than once. Why don't we see these fossil kangaroos all the way from Mount Ararat, where the Ark landed, all the way to Australia? How did kangaroos even get to Australia?
Well, number one, people who are in professional geology don't like me for one reason. Unless they're Christians, of course, and even them struggle, because I like to say God was there. Remember the point we made back with the fossil thorns?
That's
God
the
was
point.
There and
fossil
we weren't. See things his way. Don't look through Darwin's glasses, because he wasn't there, and we keep changing our scientific theories. So if you start from Genesis 1, the world was created covered with water. It was made very good. God raised up the dry land. No fossils. Mm-hmm. One qualification of being a fossil is dead. Nothing dead until after Adam sinned. But after Adam sinned, you could die, but there's no way to preserve you. You just die and fall to the ground. You don't turn into a fossil. So you wouldn't expect any fossil kangaroos before Noah's flood, even though they lived. Yep. Right. So then you find massive catastrophic destruction, rain for 40 days and 40 nights, fountains of the deep. God's purpose is stated to judge man, to judge the animals, to kill things, right? To destroy the planet. And as Peter said, the world was cataclysmosed. That's the Greek word there, right? Yes. Absolutely devastated. Okay. So for the first time, fossils are possible. Because to be a fossil, dead is the first qualification.
Yeah,
secondly,
helps.
being rapidly buried, right? Thirdly, being deeply buried so the dogs can't dig you up again, yeah. right? So what you find is the qualifications first began to be met at Noah's flood and in any minor catastrophes since then, like Mount St. Helens or Krakatoa or any of those massive volcanic eruptions, or even at the moment in Australia where we've got an area of water the size of France yeah. moving down through New South Wales. And last year it was as big as France and Germany combined. Rapid catastrophic destruction
wow.
is the property of floods like Noah's flood. So, okay, what happens to the kangaroos? They, God sends some of them because they don't spend too long swimming in the water. They don't survive very long. They're land dwelling, air breathing. They meet the qualification of the creatures God's going to send to Noah. Up they hop up the plank. Mrs. Noah says, good morning. Because there's no Aussies then. They don't have to say good day, right? So they hop onto the ark and there they spend the year. They're probably little young ones because sending mature ones that are going to have babies is going to overrun the ark. I mean, two rabbits get on, how many get off? You've got a real problem. So you find your kangaroos spend the year on and then they hop off. But because okay. they're clean animals, vegetarian, there's at most seven of them. One is sacrificed, the biggest sacrifice of the most expensive animal sacrifice ever made, wow, and three pairs right. get off. Now you're on Noah's Ark, you've been there for a year, the last thing you want is an animal reunion, right? You hop away. So you can only go in three directions at the most, because they can't go in every direction. There's only three pairs of them. Well, I guess they could, but they become extinct fairly rapidly, right? So what you find is when they head away from Noah, question, no matter where they went, what's going to fossilize them? Answer, there's nothing. no more procedures until you get localized destruction, volcanic, okay. etc. So, A, you do find fossil marsupials in other countries, but they're rare. You okay. find them here in Canada. Oh, sorry, I've just come from Canada. That was yesterday. You find them in Canada where I live. You find them in France, but you find them living in Australia, South America, etc. You find kangaroos in Australia. You'll find a couple of fossil kangaroo-like creatures in Asia, but you wouldn't expect to find many of them after Noah's flood. So you ask me, how did they get there? How did dogs get to Australia? People took them. How did the Aborigines get to Australia? No seagoing vessels. The answer is they walked. Because all you need to do in our current climate of global warming concept, you lower the water or raise the water, you change the shape of the continents. So you too can go to Google and ask, where would the sea be if the water level dropped 100 metres?
Wow.
Answer, you could walk around the planet from the Shetland Islands to the tip of South America without getting your feet wet for all practical purposes.
Wow.
So the Aborigines walked, the kangaroos walked, but they got there before the big killers had devolved. You know, the lions that used to eat grass, just yes. like the ox?
That's right.
Eventually became scavengers and then became carnivores. They never made it to Australia. Mm. So you have this isolated place where the soft cuddlies, koalas, etc. are safe until Europeans start bringing their hunting dogs.
And that's when they started getting killed off.
That's when they started getting killed off.
Amazing. Now, you had some pictures of kangaroos, fossil giant kangaroos and so on.
Oh, yes.
A place called Kangaroo Island.
Yes, I've been there, but that's way at the end of the program. So if we want to get to the clam that you want to mention,
right.
we have to change the tactic there a little.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what are some other things that you've done lots of geologic trips. Tell us some more of the stuff that you've discovered in some of your geologic trips.
Yeah.
Okay, well, remember that we started out by showing you the fossil fauns
right.
previously. We set up a whole outdoor creation museum. It's the only creation museum in Australia. We called it our Jurassic Ark Project. You can see our main website there to show you where it is. East coast of Australia, I'm in the state of Queensland, and we're just sort of north-northwest of the town of Brisbane. There's our normally quiet Jurassic Ark. We take tourists there, we take students there. We originally set it up as a fossil flood log jam. And you say, why fossil flood log jam? There's some of our excavations.
Wow.
Trees turned to stone. There's a present-day log jam. Okay, I was in Canada last week, and there's what happens to trees in a log jam. They rub against each other, their ends get rounded. There's our fossil trees.
Exactly.
They've rubbed against each other, their ends have got rounded. Every geologist who's been there says, this is a fossil flood log jam dump. E.g., the trees didn't live here. But then they didn't live in the Arizona State Fossil Forest either, because they had the same characteristic. It's a flood dump as well. So we set it up as a museum. We take students there. there, we take people there, and you can actually go and see it on creationresearch.net. But one of the things we did set up was a living fossil forest. Let me see if I can do this before our next break. Beautiful plants. They love all the wet weather we've had in Australia, but we've planted the living versions of the same things we've been digging up as fossils. So there's a living woolamai. There's some of the fossil woolamai in my collection.
Wow.
We call it living fossil because Darwin had a problem. He had a theory that said seaweed turned into cabbages, turned into trees, but yet he found these creatures that seem to be the same in the rocks as they are in the present. So I dug up that tree fern in our Jurassic rocks near our Jurassic Ark site. How do I know it's a tree fern? I grow them in my backyard.
Wow.
So the folks, if you come and visit Australia, come and see our Jurassic Ark project, right? It's worth seeing. You can see all the fossil evidence, and it's really great to remember that if these trees didn't grow there, they grew somewhere else. And if they grew somewhere else, they've been picked up, dumped, and buried real fast before the trees rotted, before the teredo worms burrowed through them. So it's rapid, it's catastrophic, and we can recognize them. So no help to evolution, but every evidence, Genesis is true after their own kind.
And you're still digging these fossils up?
Well, we are still digging these fossils up. There's no doubt about it.
Okay, well, you've also got some fossilized clams.
Oh, yeah, we're going to show you that.
Can we get to that?
Yep.
All right, we'll talk about that right after this. We are getting a wealth of information from visitor John Mackay all the way from Australia. And Paul, are you enjoying this?
This is absolutely fascinating.
I mean, when you're seeing all this evidence, we already know God's word is true because he told us it is. And we can talk about that another day, but it's revealed to us. But man, when you see all this evidence in the face of so many people trying to deny the God of Scripture, trying to deny what Scripture has clearly told us, you say, look, I'm going to go based on God's word. And then look, everything supports exactly what God's word originally said.
That's correct.
That's what I love about
it. In fact, when I get people who I debate, like I had one at Northampton University recently, and he said, we're going to discuss four things, four evidences that demolish the Bible. And he said, the first is the Big Bang Theory.
Four evidences. Let's talk about the Big Bang Theory as an evidence. Wow.
And that was his first one.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get any better.
In the beginning, there was nothing. Yeah. Nothing exploded.
And that's what they're teaching us science today. Okay, and it has serious implications because what you believe determines how you behave. And that's why we got a lot of problems in the world today. So help us fight evolution. It really is a serious problem in our culture today. And really the root problem right before that, we were talking about this yesterday when you got in. The problem underneath evolution is our authority, which you alluded to earlier.
That's right. Is it God the creator or is it man?
Yeah,
that's
what are we going to believe?
Yep.
Man, we got it. We got to go with God, not man. Sorry, I didn't mean man like that. Man, we got to go with God. We've got to. God has to be our authority. Okay, you dig up fossils on your property right there in Australia. You bring groups to let them dig them up. You found all kinds of incredible stuff. Keep going. I want to just keep learning here.
We took a group from our site to aim to get to the centre of Australia. Lake Eyre, full at the moment because of all of the wet weather we've had. Beautiful flowers in our outback.
Wow.
And we weren't there to collect the flowers, we were there to collect fossil trees. Fossil trees from the coast way out to the centre of Australia.
Wow.
Magnificent fossil pine trees. We know they're pine trees because they're still here today. They're southern pines, but then you have southern pines. Your Arizona State Forest southern conifers, not northern ones.
Yeah.
You have Aussie plants in the USA.
No, you got USA plants in the Aussie.
I'll come back to that. But see, there's a map of the extent of our fossil log jam.
Wow.
And when people say to me, well, where is the evidence the world has been covered by water? And I say, well, I have personally Valley. So, been over all of this, and it's full of logs that didn't grow there that were washed in. So if you have sort of like a half of the East Coast as one bed that's catastrophically dumped, then all the rest of it, the water was outside bringing the stuff in. And so you've made a good point. But on the last trip, we brought back some of these. Now, I bought one so I can have a close-up. Let me get this out of my pocket. That's why my wife won't let me wear a suit. You know, I carry dirty fossils in my pockets here. But if you have a close-up look at that, it's a fossilized clamshell. Why don't we just go back? The picture just jumped for some reason. And the interesting thing is, you see, it's closed. And it's got two halves, and they're both closed. It's a lamellibranch shell. And what you'll find is it's beautiful because it's turned to opal. Now, I'll put it down. The big picture's on the screen. A, opal. Opal was supposed to form really slowly. Yeah. But B, the experiments tell us it can do it in a couple of weeks. Wow. C, we know the fossil was formed quickly because when clamshells die, they open. So this guy was buried alive. And not only that, he was buried deeply because we've run experiments. You bury a clamshell, yes, it'll stay shut, but they're used to that, so they dig their way out. They can dig their way out 1 meter, 3 feet, 6 feet, 9 feet, yeah. And after that, they've had
they're
it.
Tired.
So therefore, you have to bury them at least 9 feet of mud, and you just divide 9 feet into the depth of the Grand Canyon, and you've only got a few days, a few months of rock formation.
Yes.
So what you find, and the last thing that's interesting, on that trip I brought back these. Now, in case you've never seen things like that before, they're fossil dinosaur footprints.
Oh, okay.
But I can't take credit for finding them. They were found in the 10-mile opal mine, and what everyone who's been there says, this dinosaur was swimming. Don't be surprised. There's clamshells in the rocks turned to opal.
Whoa.
There's a dinosaur trying to get out of there. And so you've got, again, water from northern Australia all the way down to the middle southern. So it looks so easy to say, well, there's plenty of evidence of rapid catastrophic destruction and clamshells that have produced their own kind. Ipso facto, the Bible is true from the very beginning. Therefore, what are you going to do about the end? Because this God is coming back and he will come as judge. You need him as savior right now.
And that's what it all comes down to.
That's what it all comes
down
to.
He's given us overwhelming evidence, and Romans even tells us, look, nobody has an excuse. You don't have an excuse when you stand before God one day for not trusting in him and accepting his son, Jesus Christ, as your personal savior. That's what this really is all about.
It really is.
Wow. Well, we challenge you, if you've never done that, I would just really encourage you to make sure that you understand the truth of God and who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's given us his revealed scripture. He's given us evidence. He's given us so much. The question is, when are we going to stop believing and trying to understand things in and of ourselves and start accepting what he has said? When are we going to change from us being the authority to God being the authority? Let God be true and every man a liar. Oh, my goodness. John, you are a blessing, man. You go all around and you are a blessing to so many people. Thank you for blessing us with all this information.
I'll see
today.
All the folks out there on creationresearch.net or askjohnmackay.com. There we are.
Man, make sure you're doing that and checking that out. That's
right.
That's incredible.
And we do have viewers around the world on the internet. If you're in Australia, make sure you get to Gympie near Brisbane and go and look at the Jurassic Ark. Well, you've been watching the Creation Today show. Thank you for joining us today. People can ask questions, can't they, Eric?
They can. If you have questions, go to questions@creationtoday.org and we'll try to get those. We've been interviewing John, but we usually are going through a lot of questions like that. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter, right?
We are at Creation Today, facebook.com/creationtoday.
Yeah, at Creation Twitter, all that stuff.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. Remember, we believe God's word is absolutely true. We're not ashamed of that, and you shouldn't be either. God bless.
Do you need the tools to defend your faith? Visit our websites for up-to-date content. Attend one of our live events and shop online at creationstore.org. We are Creation Today.